I'm Andrea Loyan, Vermont Edition producer, and I just wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening, and enjoy!
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Over the weekend, I went to a beach along Lake Champlain with my daughter. It was a beautiful, warm, sunny day, but when we got there, no one was in the lake. Signs with big red lettering told us the lake was closed for swimming. So there went our plans. Cyanobacteria blooms made the water unsafe. These blooms of blue-green algae are in part due to pollution flowing into the water. Much of that pollution comes from farms. The problem's gotten bad enough that the federal government is stepping in. This month, the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, said Vermont's state government is falling short in its regulation of water quality on farms. Later in today's show, we're going to talk with a representative from the EPA, as well as a member of the state's leadership team, about what is going on these Vermont farms and what the implications of this official rebuke could be. But first, Vermont Public's environment and climate change reporter Abigail Giles is here. She's going to tell us about who exactly is overseeing the lake's pollution problem and why they might be dropping the ball. Abigail, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Michaela. Good to be with you.
So federal regulators are essentially saying that Vermont is falling short when it comes to regulating water on farms. And particularly, they're saying that Vermont is failing to enforce the Clean Water Act. What is that?
Yeah, so the Clean Water Act is the main federal law that protects water quality nationwide. It's been around since the 70s, and it regulates everything from farms to factories. And Vermont, like most states, here, essentially our Agency of Natural Resources is responsible for enforcing the Clean Water Act within our borders on behalf of federal regulators. They do that in a lot of ways, but one of the most important ones is by making businesses or towns that release any kind of waste into rivers or streams or wetlands or lakes and ponds get a federal permit. Now, that permit comes with conditions. You can only release this much, this often. It might require a plan for how to someday stop it altogether. It might include a cleanup plan. But the point is, you need a permit and to go through this federal process before you can release any waste. And that's what's the issue here, is essentially the feds are saying Vermont wasn't making farms get these permits when they should have.
Okay, that's interesting. Since it sounds a little bit counterintuitive when you say it, that that some waste is allowed, some runoff from these farms, as long as there's a permit, as long as people know about it, and there might be a plan in place, therefore, to eventually clean it up.
Yeah, the idea is that in certain instances, spills happen. The wastewater has to be dealt with. And so the goal is to essentially create a federal regulatory structure that makes there be transparency about how that's managed. It gives the opportunity for people in the public to weigh in, to give feedback, and it's consistent nationwide.
Mm. If you have concerns about water quality in Lake Champlain or other water bodies in our state, or maybe some thoughts about what it means to work on a farm and have to deal with these types of regulations that we're talking about, you can give us a call, weigh in this hour. 800-639-2211 is our number. Abigail, can you help us visualize a little more clearly what exactly is going on these farms? First, what kinds of farms are we talking about? And what does this potential pollution look like?
Yeah, Michaela. So we're talking about farms that the federal government considers to be CAFOs. So these are operations that house animals in pretty close quarters. Most conventional dairy farms in Vermont fall into that category, but so too do many farms that raise livestock. So it's really just this one category of farms. And you know, one thing I want to emphasize too is that the issue here is this particular permit around wastewater. So it's not that the feds are saying Vermont farms are just sort of willy-nilly, you know, releasing waste. And nobody here is saying that farms have actually done anything wrong. Mm. The question is about whether or not regulators are providing the kind of consistency in applying the rules that they're supposed to under this federal law. But namely, the things that are at issue here are, you know, instances where, for example, maybe a farm has a very full manure pit and there's a spill because there's a heavy storm, or there's an accidental runoff of barnyard wastewater or milk waste. These are the sorts of things that this sort of permit would kind of protect a farm against.
Mm. So you mentioned CAFOs, that's C-A-F-O, concentrated animal feeding operations. Our listeners might hear that word CAFOs more throughout this hour. So Abigail, there's clearly some issues with how regulation is going on in the state. How exactly did the federal government get clued in to this issue?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is a case where local environmental activists have actually been ringing the alarm for years about this issue. They petitioned the federal government and federal regulators over a decade ago and have been kind of calling for an investigation and a closer look at Vermont's policies since then. And this essentially triggered an investigation from the EPA. They looked at 113 water quality complaints against Vermont farms from 2021 to 2023. And they found that for almost half of those cases, there was evidence suggesting that farms were discharging phosphorus-laden waste that should be regulated under federal law, but that regulators at the state took no action to require that they get one of these federal permits. It doesn't mean that they didn't take any action at all, but they didn't go through the pathway that is required under the Clean Water Act. And in many cases, the EPA found that where other action was taken, there wasn't clear evidence of consistency, of follow-up to make sure that the spills were stopped or that the problem was fully resolved.
Mm. So again, the issue here isn't that farmers are breaking the rules. It's that the rules aren't being properly regulated and enforced by the state.
Yeah, exactly. And in some cases, the EPA also found that there were farms that probably could have been required to get one of these federal permits that didn't have them. So in some cases, the EPA was saying, you know, you need to do better outreach to farmers to make sure that they're participating in this program.
Mm. So what exactly are the agencies that are involved in regulating water quality on farms in Vermont right now? Because it's not so straightforward.
No, it's complicated here. So essentially, the agreement with the EPA that we have as a state that gives us the power to sort of have local jurisdiction over clean water, it places the sole authority, the responsibility for enforcement with the Agency of Natural Resources. But a couple decades ago in the early 90s, the state legislature essentially gave the Agency of Agriculture a piece of the pie. So we have a state legislature saying we want another state agency to have some jurisdiction to regulate as well. And this is something the EPA has called out as being contrary to the sort of conditions of this agreement. They say that it is sort of inappropriate, the current structure of regulation, whereby right now, the Agency of Agriculture often serves as a sort of boots on the ground on farms to make sure that there aren't spills and aren't issues. And ANR then takes regulatory action to enforce cleanups if they hear about an issue or find out about something. ANR also is sometimes on the ground. But essentially, there's a sort of divide in the way the regulations work. And EPA has called out in its complaint, in its letter, that this is creating inefficiency and inconsistency in how the rules are applied. They really want ANR to be solely in charge of clean water on farms in Vermont.
Mm. Well, listeners, if you have questions about how wastewater or polluted water with phosphorus in it is regulated in Vermont and what some of the effects can be on Lake Champlain, you can give us a call at 800-639-2211. You can also email vermontedition@vermontpublic.org. We just got an email from a listener named Paul in Hinesburg who writes, "Lake Champlain is my happy place and I'm a big fan of cleaning it up. But it strikes me that the efforts so far have gone after quote unquote low-hanging fruit, such as small-town wastewater treatment plants, stormwater runoff at schools, etc. Have these just been feel-good investments that haven't really addressed the major sources of pollution? Is there respected research that has identified the share of water pollution that different sources contribute?" Abigail, does that research exist?
Yeah, it's something that I think would be great to put to state regulators as well later in the hour. But, I think there's a great point that wastewater, stormwater, these are all things that contribute to nutrient loading in Lake Champlain, which, as we know from a lot of the science, is a huge factor in contributing to cyanobacteria blooms and poor water quality in the lake, confluence with some other things like climate change. I think that, I'm sure federal and state regulators would have some interesting insights there.
As you just mentioned, climate change is wreaking havoc on many parts of our environment and natural resources, including Lake Champlain. The warmth is contributing to these algae blooms that we were discussing, as well as other issues. We've seen as well a lot more flooding in the past few years than we typically do. So with extreme weather events becoming more frequent due to climate change, do you think that Vermont really needs to rethink, for example, what types of businesses might require permits and how far this current system goes?
Well, it's my understanding that a lot of that would be up to the federal government. Okay. And federal law. That's a great question, I think, for both state and federal regulators. But I can say, Michaela, that both in talking to scientists about water quality in Lake Champlain and in talking to local and federal regulators, the increasing frequency with which we are seeing extreme rain events in New England and in Vermont, that is contributing to greater risk when it comes to water quality and to spills in particular. You know, the example that was offered to me was that a farm that maybe a decade ago was far less likely to have a manure pit overflow because of an extreme rain event, that scenario could be far more plausible now in this kind of much wetter future that we're already living in and is going to continue to be part of our reality. So I think there's a lot of interest on the part of farmers and also regulators in making sure that our systems for protecting clean water are as solid and prepared for that future as they can be.
Mm. And Abigail, lastly, too, I'm hoping you could help us kind of have some context here around what exactly farmers are up against in terms of, trying to do their best to protect the land that, is in many ways the source of their livelihood, and to cooperate with these regulations while also running a business that economically makes sense, where they're earning money every year. And that can be hard to do in a world where there's a lot of regulations and, a lot of different people providing you oversight. What kind of conversations have you had with farmers that kind of might help us understand what they're going through right now?
Yeah, I spoke with some of the folks at the Champlain Valley Farmer Coalition, and they were saying that the one of the biggest concerns that they have is actually about climate change when it comes to water quality, but also their ability to continue to do what they do. So I think that these are real challenges. And in many ways, I think when I spoke with the Agency of Natural Resources about this change, one of the concerns that they had as regulators was that they want to make sure that within their own agency, if they do take on the sole responsibility for regulating clean water on farms, that they have the staffing expertise to be able to work with farmers and help them develop solutions that work within their business models that are sort of honoring of that difficult economic landscape that farmers are navigating. And I think it's important, too, to note that one of the concerns that federal regulators raised was if farms are, complying with inconsistent regulations, often those are investments that they have to make as a business. And so consistency in the regulatory landscape offers businesses assurance that what they're investing in will serve them in the long term.
Hmm. And then lastly, Abigail, what should we keep an eye on moving forward with this story? Are there any upcoming dates, any big things that you're going to be keeping an eye on as a reporter?
So I think one of the big sort of next deadlines, we know that this letter came from the EPA to ANR on September 6th. ANR has until December 5th to file a plan with the EPA for how to make this transition possible. And when I spoke with Secretary Secretary Julie Moore about this, Natural Resources Secretary. She said that a big focus is going to be on how to make the transition as smooth as possible, and also that there may be some places where local regulators try to do some negotiating to try to come up with a system that they feel works for everybody. So that December 5th deadline is the big one. And there are big things on the table here. The EPA has said that if Vermont doesn't agree to do this, our ability to regulate clean water locally as a state is on the table and is at risk.
Mm. Well, Secretary Moore will be joining us in just a moment, along with a couple other guests, to keep this conversation going. You can join us as well. What are your concerns about water quality in Vermont? Call in at 800-639-2211. Vermont Public Environment and Climate Change reporter Abigail Giles, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Michaela.
Today, we're discussing a federal investigation that found Vermont is not complying with the Clean Water Act. Regulators need to change the way that some types of farms operate to keep polluted water out of Lake Champlain and other water bodies. The good news is this is a fixable problem. But how do we do it? Joining us now to discuss is David Cash. He's a regional administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. He oversees the Northeast region. David, welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here.
So glad to have you. And we are also joined this hour by Julie Moore in Montpelier. She is the secretary of Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources, one of the state agencies tasked with regulating farms. Secretary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Michaela.
And last but not least, John Groveman is with the Vermont Natural Resources Council, VNRC, where he serves as the Policy and Water Program Director. John, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, John, these confined animal feeding operations, as they're known, these particular types of farms, what is going on at them that most concerns you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the concern is that, I think that Abigail Giles did a good summary. I mean, this is basic regulation. Like, we need, as the person who emailed in, that there are obviously significant issues cleaning up Lake Champlain. We've been working on it for years and years and years in Vermont. And, this goes back even, I think in the intro you talked about 10 years ago, there was another petition to address the issue of who regulates water quality on the farms. But we, VNRC, Vermont Natural Resources Council, Conservation Law Foundation, Lake Champlain Committee, we raised these issues 25 years ago when Vermont really dug in on this kind of dual system of having the Agency of Agriculture and Agency of Natural Resources share responsibility for addressing water pollution on farms. And we flagged that we didn't think that was, under the Clean Water Act, the Agency of Natural Resources, they're the experts in water pollution. They should be dealing with these. Again, these are the nuts and bolts issues. We want to make sure when there is a discharge from a farm that they're being properly addressed through permitting and regulation. And we were concerned from the beginning that having a dual system would create confusion for farmers. Who are they responsible to answering to? What it was the interplay going to be between the Agency of Natural Resources and the Agency of Agriculture? And I think through the decades, our concerns have been proven to be, really warranted in that we have not, what our investigation that resulted in the petition that was noted earlier in the program that asked EPA to look at these issues was that there's inefficiency, inconsistency in how discharges from farms are being addressed. And again, basic discharges, I think Abigail Giles' example of manure pits overflowing, but any time there is pollution coming off of a farm and getting into Vermont's public waters, and that's not being properly addressed, which means through regulation and permitting from the Agency of Natural Resources, it's just contributing to the problem on Lake Champlain. Mm. So, that's from our view what we're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. Secretary Julie Moore, do you agree with John Groveman with the Vermont Natural Resources Council that this system of regulation that's in place in the state right now isn't working?
So I guess I would offer that there are a lot of ways to sort of slice and dice the work that needs to be done for water quality. particularly or maybe including on Vermont farms. And I appreciate John's acknowledgement that the experts in water pollution for the state of Vermont really do work at the Agency of Natural Resources. And I think what we're looking at and what the legislature considered when they established the current regulatory framework is that really those experts in agronomy and farm operations are the staff at the Agency of Agriculture. And so there's a real logic to why the responsibilities were divided the way they were. Certainly take seriously the critique that we've received from EPA and want to make sure that we are fulfilling our obligations under the Clean Water Act. But I also think it's important not to lose sight of why those original decisions were made, as John noted, the better part of 25 years ago.
Thank you. And David Cash with the EPA, how does your agency envision this working in Vermont? What do you want to see changed?
I mean, I think we see it envisioned like it is in many, many other states that also have a thriving, important agricultural industry. And we know how important agriculture is for Vermont, very central to its economy, central to its culture. And we also know that, like tourism and food and beverage industry and outdoor recreation, that the ag sector depends on clean water for its operations and success, just like we all do. Just like at the top, I think it was Michaela was talking about wanting to go for a swim in Lake Champlain. And we also know farmers are incredible stewards of natural resources. And where we see Clean Water Act implementation working well is when a state's environment agency, that as was noted earlier, has the expertise in addressing water pollution, is where it's driven. And that's what we're proposing in this letter. And we are ready to sit down with the Agency for Natural Resources, with the ag industry, with any of those on the outside stakeholders in this process of transition to make sure it happens smoothly, with clarity, and in a way that meets the needs of both the environment and the farmers.
And David, what exactly could happen if Vermont fails to clean up its act?
As someone noted, you know, the EPA has the authority to take over the program, but you know, it just makes so much more sense, as is done in almost everywhere in the country. There are only a couple of states where that's the case. It makes so much more sense that this is regulated on a local basis at the state. The state and localities know the environment best, know the industries best, know the stakeholders best. And we'll do everything we can to support the state as it moves to this transition.
If you have thoughts, give us a call at 800-639-2211. We're discussing water quality and runoff from farms in Vermont that can end up in Lake Champlain and other water bodies. Now, as we've noted, the EPA wants Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources to be the sole entity that is regulating these farms and making sure that these elements of the Clean Water Act are followed here in the state. So that would mean that the Agency of Agriculture would need to take a step back. Secretary Moore, has this been discussed with your counterpart, Anson Tebbets? How did that conversation go?
Yeah, we've just started those initial conversations. The letter from EPA was received just a week ago today, and so certainly have shared a copy with Secretary Tebbets and look forward to working with him and his team. I think it's important to also keep in mind that in addition to the regulatory functions performed by the Agency of Agriculture, the agency is responsible for administering a wide range of technical and financial assistance programs that help farmers improve water quality practices, as well as sort of the overall quality of their operation, and am not envisioning that there would be any changes in those technical and financial assistance programs as part of the conversation we're undertaking here.
Thank you. Well, we just got an email from a listener named Christian who writes, I have been concerned for some time about the spreading of liquid manure in my area of Braintree and Randolph. It seems to me that this method of fertilization is excessive and nearly constant. I assume the logic behind it is to push the natural capacity of the land to maximum hay production. But what about the many waterways in our state? Who is making sure that farmers are not overspreading this liquid manure? How can we dial it back and let the land exist without maximum exploitation and hazardous runoff? I'd like to let Secretary Moore, as well as our other guest, John Groveman with Vermont Natural Resources Council, respond to this one. Secretary Moore, let's start with you.
Sure. So farmers are required to develop and then follow something called a nutrient management plan. Those nutrient management plans are often developed in partnership with a part of the U.S. Department of Agriculture called the Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS. And they have a set of standards that farmers need to follow in order to qualify for federal funding, again, to support different environmental practices on their farms. And a nutrient management plan really considers how many acres of land the farmer owns or operates, how many cows or other animals they have, so kind of the volume of waste, the types of crops they're growing. Corn requires more nutrients than a hay field, and helps the farmers develop a spreading plan. One of the questions EPA has raised to us through their letter is our review, ANR's review of those nutrient management plans, given the important role that they play in ensuring that waste is being managed in a sustainable and thoughtful manner. Mm.
Thank you. And John, what do you think about our listener Christian's concerns about these farms kind of pushing their natural capacity of the land? Do you agree?
Yeah, no, and I agree with Secretary Moore. I think that her answer is completely correct all the way from it is these nutrient management plans that really, as Secretary Moore said, govern how nutrients are spread on the land to make sure that you're not overspreading them. And EPA is raising that concern. And I think I just want to emphasize that part of it. I think ANR, from our perspective, it gets back to the clarity and consistency of one agency looking at something as important as a nutrient management plan, making sure it's in place, the plan, making sure it's being followed. ANR, you know, they're set up to do this. This is what ANR does. Through so many regulatory programs. And, you know, this touches on another kind of aspect that's a challenge of this dual system, is that, you know, the industry of agriculture is in a difficult place because their mission is really to promote farms, right, and to provide assistance for farms, which is great and which is what we need that. But they're also in this one area of dealing with water quality. Now they're also responsible for being regulators and really, you know, overseeing farmers, making sure things like these nutrient management plans are in place and are being followed. And we just think it's the wrong system to ask the Agency of Agriculture to both promote farms and to regulate on these important issues. And to the extent that, you know, and I agree, I think Secretary Moore said this earlier, you know, that staff need to be shifted around to make sure that ANR has the technical staff that can look at these nutrient management plans, make sure that, you know, they are calling for the right practices and being implemented. But we, you know, we think putting that all in ANR will get more compliance and less pollution from things like manure spreading. Mm.
And speaking of that pollution, I want to circle back to a question that we received earlier via email from a listener named Paul in Hinesburg, who was wondering if there is respected research that has identified the share of water pollution that different sources contribute, particularly agriculture. Agriculture accounts for nearly 40% of the nutrient loading to Lake Champlain. That's according to the Lake Champlain Basin Program's 2024 State of the Lake Report. It's a very comprehensive report you can find online, Paul, and other listeners, if you'd like to learn more. Let's take some calls now. We have Elena calling in from Norwich. Elena is with the Conservation Law Foundation of Vermont, I believe. Elena, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Michaela, for taking my call. As you noted, I'm the vice president of CLF Vermont. So we're the organization that filed that initial petition with EPA back in 2008, and then recently again, along with the NRC and Lake Champlain Committee. And I want to thank EPA and particularly Regional Administrator David Cash for your close review of our petition. You know, it's nice to give some faith to the, you know, the reason why these petitions are here, to raise alarm about problems, and appreciate you know, saying your agency saying that the buck stops here after decades of giving the state a chance to kind of do it the way that we've been doing it and realizing that it's not working. And, you know, I also want to thank Agency of Natural Resources Secretary Julie Moore for leaning in and engaging on this complex issue and for your commitment to abide by the request of EPA at a pace and in a way that is, you know, respectful of the complexities that the regulated community faces. But, you know, I also wanted to say something that I heard Abigail allude to briefly, that getting a permit in and of itself, it protects farmers in many ways as much as it protects downstream users. And it is a important way to ensure water quality is achieved and also safeguard farmers and allow them to know when they're, you know, following the law. So I appreciate the attention to this matter and just wanted to thank those leaders involved in spotlighting the issue and making sure that we get this basic foundational Clean Water Act implementation in our state.
Elena, thank you so much for calling in. David Cash with the EPA, I'm wondering if you could help us understand that point that Elena there was making at the end about these permits actually safeguarding farmers. Do you see the issue that way as well?
Yeah, that's one side of permits that's very important, that when you have a permit, then it makes sure that if there's a problem, say there's a flood, say there's a, as you have all experienced up in Vermont with the storms this summer and last summer, then you're in compliance with the Clean Water Act if you have a permit. If you don't have a permit, you're not. And so in that way, it protects the farmer. And I think the other way that Elena might have been alluding to it is, as I noted at the top, the ag industry is just as dependent on clean water as families who want to swim in a lake, as the food and beverage industries that require clean water for their production, as the tourism industry is. And so in that regard, in a long-term kind of analysis, it benefits, having a system that's clear and straightforward for farmers benefits the ag industry as well. There's another point that I thought would be helpful to make as well, because you had mentioned the Lake Champlain Basin program, and I know in the earlier segment you were talking about the impact of climate change, and we know that in a future that's going to have more storms like you've experienced this summer and last summer, that we're in a different world, and our permitting needs to capture the reality of that new world. And in fact, in the kinds of permitting that we're talking about for discharging, the EPA program, and I am so sorry to be dumping a bunch of bureaucraties on y'all, but it's in the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. So the NPDES program is the federal acronym for it. And in Region 1, we are, as we revise all of these kinds of permits, we're requiring an analysis of climate change and what that will mean in terms of increased runoff, increased drought, increased extreme weather events. And in our large programs, and you mentioned the Lake Champlain Basin program, that's a federally supported program through EPA and many partners at the state and local level. In fact, it's a partnership between Vermont and New York, EPA Region 1, that's the New England states and the 10 federally recognized tribes that I work with, and Region 2, which is New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico. And that program got a huge shot in the arm through the bipartisan infrastructure law, $40 million more dollars. It usually has about a $25 million base. And that's going precisely to do the kinds of reports and analyses that you cited, where pollution is coming from. Because we know that the ag sector is only one of many, many sectors that contribute to that. And through that program, we're better understanding where pollution come from, how to address it, what are the new kinds of innovative techniques that we can use to address this problem. That, again, it's not just Lake Champlain. It's for all water bodies that need to be protected in this kind of way.
Mm, thank you. Well, I want to bring in another caller here. We have Elizabeth in Orwell who's on the line. Elizabeth, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks, Michaela. I guess this would be a question for both the ANR and the EPA. I'm wondering if there's been consideration of two sort of low-hanging fruit possibilities for cleanup, and that would be installing reed beds, plant-based reed beds for consistent filtration of water before it even gets to the lake. And then secondly, along the shores and potential tributaries, et cetera, planting out fungi that take up toxins like shiitakes, and there's other ones. But Paul Stamets is somebody that I've mentioned to the ANR before, who's done quite a bit of extensive work in that area with success.
Mm. Thank you, Elizabeth. Secretary Moore, is this a fix that you've considered?
Well, certainly the first piece there, which I'm going to expand to sort of talk about as wetland restoration, is a type of project that we have invested significantly in over the last 8 years, with a particular emphasis on the area around Orwell, along Otter Creek and then the Lemon Fair. And working in partnership between my Department of Environmental Conservation and Department of Fish and Wildlife, we have successfully conserved and restored several thousand acres of wetlands that were formerly being used as marginal farmlands to create both water quality, resilience, and some pretty incredible habitat benefits. And so I do think there are opportunities like the ones Elizabeth spoke to.
Mm. I want to kick off this last portion of our discussion with an email that we got from Jeff, who's in North Hero. Jeff writes, "Anyone who spends time on the lake, Lake Champlain, knows that it is in distress. I'm a volunteer cyanobacteria monitor for 6 sites in the northern lake. Yesterday, my 6-mile kayak trip in the main lake encountered roughly 1.5 miles of low alert bloom conditions and 1 mile of high alert conditions. Alberg Dunes was having a high alert bloom and people were swimming because the state no longer monitors the beach after Labor Day. In my opinion, the lake is not getting better. I don't understand why water quality has not been a larger issue in the upcoming election. It's not going to be easy, but state agencies need to start making some difficult choices to prevent the lake from further decline." John Groveman, I'd love your thoughts here. Do you think there's a disconnect between how severe water quality issues are in the state and the general public's understanding of that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say the disconnect, but I agree. I mean, I've been working on these issues for 30 years, and I you know, don't understand why, you know, the citizenry doesn't, you know, I mean, speak out even more. And certainly, you know, we have a cleanup plan for Lake Champlain. There's been a lot of public comment, but I agree. I think people should be upset, you know, that, you know, beaches are closed and we're not making more progress than we are. You know, these are complicated, difficult issues. I understand that well, having like worked on them and studied them for years, but these are public waters, you know, and people, and I know that ANR and EPA, they want the same things that VNRC and CLF and Lake Champlain Committee does and what citizens want. They want waters to be clean and healthy and fishable and swimmable. But I agree. Things are, you know, we're doing a lot on, we're doing a lot, you know, in terms of changing how we're dealing with pollution. But clearly we need to do more and we need to do some different things because it's not getting us the results we want. And that's why, I mean, to bring it back to this petition, you know, one of the points I've been trying to convey is like, this is like bare minimum, right? This isn't like, okay, like, oh, what do we really need to do to be creative about dealing with farm pollution, or it could be storm water pollution, or it could be wastewater pollution. This is like the nuts and bolts of, if there are discharges occurring that are not being controlled under the Clean Water Act, we need to do that, like at a minimum, right? And then we can go off from there. But yeah, no, I as someone who works for an environmental group, I always hope that people are environmental voters, and I think there are a lot in Vermont. But yeah, I'm not a political expert, so
Secretary Moore. Secretary Moore, do you see this moment as a challenge or an opportunity?
I would say both. As John noted, Lake Champlain is a really complex ecosystem, and I think we have to maintain some amount of humility in terms of thinking about work we're doing on the ground, work where we really redoubled our efforts starting in 2016 to address water quality in Lake Champlain. And we are cleaning up literally hundreds of years of impacts. Since 2016, we have made really significant investments in reducing phosphorus pollution, more than $400 million, including $90 million in 2023, a reflection in part of what Administrator Cash spoke to in recognizing the bump in funds we've seen as a result of some of those federal funding programs. And since 2016, we've achieved about a quarter of the reduction in phosphorus loads going into Lake Champlain that we need to over the course of the 20-year plan and commitment mm-hmm. we've made. We expect that those reductions will start to accelerate. Part of that time was spent putting in place new regulatory programs, probably most notably in the stormwater space, where we have regulations that now well exceed federal standards and will expect them to have the kind of impacts we're all looking for in promoting clean water throughout Vermont.
Mm. Well, let's take one more call here. We have James in Middlebury on the line. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. There's an important misperception of the problem that I'm hearing throughout this discussion. Earlier in the program, I think it was Michaela asked, are farmers breaking the rules or are regulators not adequately regulating the rules? And the answer is neither of those is the problem. This problem has its roots 50 years ago with the passage of the Clean Water Act. That was an affront to conventional farming here in Vermont, and the state needed to do something about it. And 20 years later, in 1993, the state passed or enacted what is called an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, that shifted responsibility for clean water away from ANR and gave it to the fox, gave it to agriculture. That system that arrangement has never worked. And the problem is that Vermont has a rather 50-year-old bias toward farms, which is partly understandable because farming is important in Vermont and no one wanted to challenge the way we farm or put them out of business. But the question is not whether pollution is due to incidents like a spill here or a discharge there. The problem is systemic.
I'm going to jump in here because I want to make sure that we give our guests a chance to respond to your concern here about, which I think in part boils down to the current system, the Agency of Agriculture and the Agency of Natural Resources are both in charge of promoting, the Agency of Agriculture in particular, promoting the state's agricultural economy as well as regulating it. And that can lead to potential issues. David Cash with the Environmental Protection Agency, hoping you can address James' concerns here about the Clean Water Act at large.
Yeah, I mean, his point he raised, I think, touches on one of the issues that Secretary Moore raised earlier and that you just highlighted. If the Ag Agency continues its excellent work as providing technical assistance, funding, incentives to the ag sector, while ANR does the regulatory work, that seems like a good splitting of roles. And I think what's been noted multiple times in this conversation is when those roles got overlapped, it became much more difficult to regulate in a way that could end up with healthy streams, healthy lakes, healthy Lake Champlain. So I think we're at this moment now where we're stepping back, taking stock, and we're saying to the state that didn't really work in the past. And we'll sit down with you and the farming sector and other stakeholders to develop a program that will have the desired regulatory outcome while making sure that the farmers who will be regulated and impacted by this will have a seat at the table and be able to voice, you know, how this might be structured in a way that can meet those two goals: clean water and a thriving ag system. Mm.
Thank you, James, for calling in. We have time for one more question from our listeners. This one I'll direct to the Secretary of Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources, Julie Moore. Julie, you mentioned earlier that Lake Champlain is a very large lake, borders in Vermont, New York, and Canada. It's a very complex ecosystem. And a listener in Essex wrote to us about just that. Says, this person writes, "I continue to hear that farm runoff from Vermont farms is contributing to the poor lake water quality. One of the counterpoints from Vermont farmers is that New York shares a border with the lake, too. There's a lot of back and forth blaming, and I'm just curious, is there data to support that one state is contributing more than the other? And is one state doing more than the other in their cleanup efforts?" Secretary Moore, what are your thoughts?
Sure. We are the lucky beneficiaries of what I believe is one of the best data sets about lake water quality that exists anywhere in the country. This is work that's been coordinated over the last almost 30 years through the Lake Champlain Basin Program that ensures data being collected in New York, Vermont, and Quebec can all be used interchangeably and paint a comprehensive picture of what's going on in our Great Lake. We do collect regular samples at the mouths of all the major tributaries to the lake, both on the Vermont and New York side, and know that Vermont's responsible in real broad strokes for a little less than two-thirds of the phosphorus pollution going into Lake Champlain. About one-third comes from New York, and a small balance comes from the province of Quebec. Vermont also has about two-thirds of the Lake Champlain watershed. So of all the land area that drains into Lake Champlain, two-thirds of it's in Vermont. So it's reasonable to think that we're disproportionately responsible for both phosphorus pollution and the good work needed to address it here in Vermont. Mm.
If I could just add
to that, I mean, one of the things I've been most impressed with in my job has been the incredible partnership and collaboration between New York and Vermont and Quebec.
And for our listeners, this is David Cash with the EPA.
Oh, so sorry. And, it's not about assigning blame. Certainly, obviously, we want to understand sources of the problem and possible solutions. And this has been an example of a long-standing program that has worked really well to bring the right partners to the table.
Well, that is all the time that we have for this discussion today. Thank you to each of our guests for providing your perspective. David Cash oversees the Northeast region for the Environmental Protection Agency. David, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Vermont Secretary of the Secretary of the Agency of Natural Resources here in Vermont, Julie Moore, joined us from Montpelier. Secretary Moore, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
And John Groveman is with the Vermont Natural Resources Council. John, thank you.
Thank you for having me.